There's nothing like being in the stands cheering on your favorite team. Game Time is your hack to unlocking amazing tickets in just a few taps. Plus, their Game Time guarantee means you can trust you'll get 100% authentic tickets at the best price. Fees are always included, so what you see is what you pay. Get the best deals on sports tickets. Download the Game Time app and create an account to start searching for tickets to upcoming games and events. Swipe, tap, ticket, go. Game Time.
Hey, football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries, plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2x the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger Fuel Centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18+ in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8/6/25 and 1/5/26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpointstc.
Welcome to Nutrition for Me on UK Health Radio, your global feel-good radio. Today's show is brought to you in association with Revive Active, our show sponsor, Ireland's number one super supplement brand, offering solutions across all life stages. Revive Active are committed to pure, premium, and positive solutions for everyone's well-being needs, working with your body's needs from morning to night, from energy to a restful sleep, kids' health to active aging. We've teamed up to provide UK Health Radio listeners with 15% off their range, so you can try it for yourself. Just go to reviveactive.com and use Radio15 to see what feeling super is all about. I'm Dora Walsh, nutritionist and functional medicine practitioner, supporting you to overcome your health problems such as obesity, low immunity, chronic fatigue, skin conditions, digestive problems, out of control cravings, and much more. Join me each week as I delve into the fascinating world of health and nutrition, focusing on the most important developments that can really help us in our quest for health, energy, and longevity. This week, we'll be exploring the topic of nutrition, diet and lifestyle for cognitive function and decline and dementia risk avoidance. This is a massive topic. Around 50 million people worldwide have dementia, the main form of which is Alzheimer's disease. Dementia is a major cause of disability and dependency in older adults, and owing to expanding and aging populations, its prevalence is expected to almost triple by 2050. In England and Wales, dementia is the first and second leading cause of death in women and men, respectively, responsible for 16.3% and 8.7% of total mortality in 2017. Almost two-thirds of cases of dementia are women. The cause of this difference between the sexes is poorly understood. It's never been more important to discuss this topic and to look at the potential ways we can optimize our diet and our lifestyle to support our cognitive function, to avoid decline and to avoid dementia in the future. This week, we'll be talking to Kate Taylor. She's a registered nutritionist specializing in nutrition for brain health and cognitive function, with an emphasis on cognitive decline and dementia risk avoidance. Kate Taylor is also the author of the Vegetables Galore trilogy of children's books, including Vegetables Galore and The Mystery Behind the Library Door, Vegetables Galore, Take a Trip to the Farm, Vegetables Galore, Exam, Exercise and Exit. Definitely look out for those for your children. And from January 2026, Kate hopes to be hosting an online cognitive function and brain health course for qualified and registered health practitioners of all disciplines. But inspired from a mindset that prevention is better than cure, Kate hopes that these brain nourishing principles will be able to be seamlessly integrated into standard practice across the healthcare landscape, with systemic optimal health aspirations at the forefront. You can find out more about Kate Taylor and her nutrition practice on her website, eatdrinkthinknutrition.co.uk. And also follow her on Instagram, eat.drink.think.nutrition. You should definitely follow her page and keep up with what she's doing. Welcome to the show, Kate. It's great to have you here.
Thank you, Dora, and thank you very much for having me. I'm delighted to be here.
We're talking about a really important topic this week, nutrition, diet and lifestyle for cognitive function and decline and dementia risk avoidance. I talked a bit about the statistics at the beginning of the show. It's a worrying statistic. A lot of people think it's a death sentence. They think that they have cognitive decline or they've been diagnosed with dementia, that there's no going back. They're never going to be able to resolve the problem. Hopefully we can give people a bit of hope today. But before we talk about that, tell us what inspired your specialization in cognitive health and how you came to be a nutritional therapist.
So how I came to be a nutritionist is quite an interesting story. To be completely truthful, I was in a completely different career before nutrition, and I happened to watch a documentary about the production of chocolate, of all things, literally from bean to bar. And I was telling somebody about this on the phone, and almost as a joke, they said to me, oh, you've remembered a lot of detail. Why don't you become a nutritionist? And I took them at their word and so investigated where I could gain appropriate and respected qualifications. And then 4 years later, graduated as a nutritionist and then chose to specialize in dementia and particularly Alzheimer's disease. And the reason that I particularly honed in on Alzheimer's disease, as with many nutritionists, I had the, I suppose, unfortunate experience of having lived experience. So I was watching my relatives, unfortunately, decline from failing cognitive function. And they were all diagnosed with Alzheimer's dementia. And because this happened to me very much in my formative years and during the time I was choosing to redirect my career, I just thought, oh my goodness, this incurable disease, is there really nothing that we can do to help either at the preventative stage, so help it not happening in the instance, if in the unfortunate situation of a diagnosis, is there really nothing we can do to at least claw back a little bit of quality of life, even if it is an eventual trajectory to unfortunate demise? So it's very much a topic that's close to my heart because of witnessing firsthand the insidiousness of Alzheimer's dementia. It's just heart-wrenching for anyone who's had any contact with it. It's just such a sad disease. So I'm trying my best from my nutritional perspective to offer a sense of hope and not put the whole umbrella term of false hopelessness in its place.
Yeah, there is this perception of dementia and there is a false hopelessness. I can see that too. And that many people think that it's genetically predetermined and that there's this chronological inevitability. So once they get this diagnosis, people think that there's no going back, that there's nothing they can do. How can we as nutritionists challenge this?
So that's interesting you say about the chronological inevitability, because you're absolutely right. There is the general perspective that it happens in old age, and if it's in your family, it is an inevitability. And interestingly, less than 1% of Alzheimer's dementia cases are genetically determined. And the famous gene is the APOE gene. But yes, of course, there is an element of genetics to it. But there is so much that we can do in our diet and our lifestyle to give ourselves the best chance of risk avoiding us developing cognitive decline or dementia in any of its many facets. Alzheimer's dementia is just one subgroup of the dementia umbrella term. And actually, the symptoms of cognitive decline can start to develop 20 years before any tangible symptom manifestation. So we really should try and come at this from a preventative perspective. And there are many things that diet and lifestyle can help with. I'm not saying that it will, by following certain diet and lifestyle recommendations, that absolutely cancels out the risk of developing dementia. We are not in a position to say that. However, to give yourself the best chance of risk avoiding, have a health aspirations rather than, well, false hopelessness.
We have to empower ourselves. We don't know what the ultimate point's going to be, but that we know from other conditions that nutrition can help. So why not for dementia? Why can't it be preventative? And that's what we're talking about today. So let's talk a bit about what somebody should be doing to prevent this cognitive decline. How can they support their brain health in terms of their diet?
So in terms of diet, none of this is particularly radical, newfound solutions. First and foremost, as much as you possibly can, avoid the ultra processed and processed food. That's a very big statement, and certain processed foods are obviously better than others. But generally speaking, food with huge amounts of chemicals in them, this is not recognized by the body, and therefore it's not going to be recognized by the brain. And generally speaking, what is good for the whole body is also beneficial for brain health. So that would be my first major recommendation. As much as you can, stick to natural whole foods. Try and avoid the processed foods. It doesn't need to be ultra clean 100% of the time, but it's a very good starting point if you want to just introduce something into your overall dietary regime. I would say one of the next things is the way I'm trained, which is the RECODE 2.0 protocol and perspective on brain health, is the emphasis for brain health is very much on the inclusion of beneficial fat. So fats have been a victim of a little bit of mis-messaging over time because there are different types of fat. However, the beneficial fats, things like our extra virgin olive oil, our oily fish, our nuts and our seeds, if dentition and swallowing permit and allow for the person, eggs and things like that. Eggs are also rich in choline. But the inclusion of beneficial fats is fundamental to protecting your brain, which is roughly 60% fat. So it needs nourishing with these beneficial fats so that they can support and protect the brain and its structural integrity. And I would say after that, the RECODE 2.0 protocol very much talks about minimizing refined carbohydrates. So this is going back to the non-processed or ultra-processed foods. So the carbohydrates that RECODE 2.0 does encourage in copious amounts are the dark green leafy vegetables and some of the colorful berries for fruit. A plate loaded with dark green leafy vegetables has so many systemic whole body benefits for all of its nutrient density, from the vitamins and the minerals and the fiber, and then the colorful berries for their polyphenols, and the dark chocolate. That's the higher cocoa content that you include, the less refined sugar there is in the chocolate. RECODE 2.0 very much emphasizes, please include plentiful amounts of vegetables and high quality, at least 70, but preferably over 85% cocoa into your daily diet. This is nourishing your brain and indeed your whole body. We then got the foods rich in the classic vitamins. So there's the vitamin D rich foods, vitamin E, the antioxidant foods, because these are very anti-inflammatory. And as we all know, chronic inflammation over an excessively long period of time to an excessive extent, and that's not going to have a good impact on any part of your body, let alone your brain. But yes, what have we got? Lean proteins as well. Protein is absolutely crucial to your whole body health. Everything from your musculoskeletal system to your DNA protecting that. And it's no different for the brain. We need these very lean sources of protein to protect its structural integrity. So yes, I think in a nutshell, no pun intended, that's probably the main principles following the dietary recommendations of the RECODE 2.0 brain supportive paradigm.
I love how you're talking about this, because this is really prevention. This diet sounds very preventative versus the just-in-time pill for an ill healthcare system that we have today, where somebody's got a health problem and we medicate them. Now, I don't want to criticize anybody on medication. We're not asking them to come off any medication, but this has to be the fundamental thing that people do to really support their health, eat this very nutritious diet. So to include the fats, our brain has a very high percentage of fat, 70% fat, I think. The nuts and seeds with the good fat, the fish oil, also the minimizing refined carbohydrates so you don't have those blood sugar crashes, the right nutrients, vitamin D and E you mentioned, and the lean protein. It sounds like an extremely anti-inflammatory diet. And as you mentioned, we need to avoid that because inflammation is the driver for many of these degenerative diseases. So it sounds like this is the first port of call. Do you, for this protocol that you use, the RECODE, does it support the use of any kind of supplements as well?
Good question. Yes, it does. However, Dora, you will know this as a fellow nutritionist. Supplements have to be very personalized and tailored to an individual's therapeutic need. And part of this therapeutic need will become apparent in any symptoms that the client is showing. So at that point, as nutritionists, we like to ask a few more questions around those symptoms and see if we can make the links between what the client is showing us and some of the evidence-based reasons for those symptoms, if it is trophic or a nutrient origin, and then we can personalize the supplements. I don't want to say specifically, because I always worry that people will go out and they will think that buying supplements is the answer to the problems and they'll forget about nourishing naturally through food. But yes, the RECODE protocol certainly does recommend supplements, and I wouldn't hesitate to offer them in a program if the client was showing a therapeutic need for them. And sometimes we, just because of where we live or our immediate environments or some of our allergies, intolerances or underlying health conditions, we need that supplemental boost anyway. But I like to work food first and then use a supplement exactly as it should be, as a supplementary input to the protocol.
I totally agree with you. Nutrition, in the way we practice, has to be very personalized. So although you have this wonderful healthy diet, which you've mentioned, which will be beneficial for all, and specifically for people that want to avoid cognitive decline and to support their brain health, it is very important that when we take supplementation, it is very much tailored to the person. So there may be some generalities. I know a lot of people are keen for fish oils and B vitamins, but it really depends on the person. It's right to analyze what is their nutritional status. What are their other comorbidities? What are their other health issues that they're facing? And what's happening in that body? Because people will think, oh, it's fish oil that's needed for this. But actually, it may be that they're deficient in a specific nutrient, and maybe that might be contributing to their cognitive decline.
Yes, exactly. And actually, you've mentioned the two classic supplements that are first thought of, shall we say, in a brain health protocol, the B complex vitamins and the fish oils. However, depending on what the diet is of my incoming client, that's exactly what I would look at first from a food perspective. And then I might think about supplementation. But as you re-emphasize, yes, they will be highly personalized and highly targeted. And also there's a bit of a nutritionists have access to supplements which are of very good, well-tested, evidenced, robust quality. So we know that when we are recommending them, for the person who will then be taking them, they will be getting to the right parts of the body without disintegration in the right quantities. And we can advise on that. We can give recommendations. So the dosage is also appropriate for the individual client.
Exactly. And also the right form of the supplement, because the kind of supplements you might get in the supermarket or in some health food stores, they don't use the right active form of the supplement. And most people on the street don't know that. They just see something on face value. It looks wonderful. But we know how to dig deeper and to really understand by looking at the label to see what is the dosage, what is the form of the supplement. There's different forms of vitamin B and you need to get the right form. Also for iron and stuff like that, you've got to get the right form. Otherwise, it's not going to be as effective. So very important to see a nutritionist to analyze that. And also to bear in mind that if somebody is on a specific medication, Kate, you have to be careful with taking supplements, don't you?
Absolutely. Contraindications are fundamental to a safe and ethical nutritional protocol. I don't know about you, Dora, but when I get a new client, it takes me a long time to check and analyze how my recommendations are going to be sitting with their medications, which is first and foremost in their conventional medical treatment plan. As nutritionists, it's our job to work around that and ensure that the recommendations, both dietary and supplementary, if supplements are necessary, absolutely sit ethically and safely alongside these medications in all their forms and all their dosages and all of their recommendations, essentially. Yeah, Dora, I'm so glad you said that, because it's very important. And as you said, people sometimes can be beguiled by a marketing campaign. And so they get very excited by all these questions that they think are going to be answered, and they will pick supplements and they haven't done the due diligence checks. And it's not their fault. They're just being marketed. these things which you really need a bit of a professional eye just to go over before you get too excited in the supplementary realm. So yes, I am very much a prevention focused and food first nutritionist, where supplements are appropriate and safe, that's when I will do my due diligence, my contraindication check, and they will just offer a little bit of a boost in my overall brain health program.
Yeah, I'm with you all the way there, Kate. Now, if anybody wanted to ask you about their supplements that they should be taking and investigate following a protocol with you, how should they reach out to you?
So they can contact me via my website, which is www.eatdrinkthinknutrition.co.uk. There's a contact form on there. So I'm monitoring emails almost constantly, apart from when I'm sleeping, because sleep is an essential part of brain health. So I really prioritize that in my own lifestyle. So yes, please do get in touch. The way I would probably respond to them is, first of all, please set up a complimentary 30-minute discovery chat. And if it is more of a supplement review that you're after, I would likely say, please consider doing a full nutritional therapy program where we can get to the nitty-gritty of your diet and your lifestyle, and we will encompass supplements within that.
Exactly. Yes, like an all-encompassing plan, not just the nutritional supplements. But it's good for people listening today to know that you will look at their supplements and check that they're on the right ones. And if they're not on the right ones, if they need something, you'll know how to advise them and also at the right dosages. And you can also check any contraindications with their medications, which is what a lot of people don't do. They just go out and buy supplements and they're on medication and they're not even thinking that actually it might not go well together.
Yes, precisely.
Let's go on to talk a bit more about nutrition, diet and life, cognitive function and decline and dementia risk avoidance. We talked about the diet. Can you tell me a bit about how that plate should be balanced? Should we be balancing it in a certain ratio, or do we just need to see good amounts of protein, fats and carbohydrates on the plate with some vegetables on the side?
So there is a balance. As I mentioned, the RECODE protocol recommends roughly, depending on the client, roughly 60% of the plate should be beneficial fat. And this is because, as we talked about, the brain is very energy dense and its main composition, so 60 to 70%, is fat. So the beneficial fats will be able to be processed and redirected to the parts of the body that are best able to use them. Trans fats, which come in the processed food, not so much. So that comes under the ultra processed bracket. So get rid of them, focus on the beneficial fats, the avocados, extra virgin olive oil, fish, oily fish, nuts, seeds, etc. And eggs, actually, under this one. So beneficial fats should make up roughly 60, 65%. After that, it's about 25% lean proteins. And this can be lean animal proteins, such as white meats and white fish, or it can be plant proteins as well. They're not quite so bioavailable, but they still very much have a use. So this is legumes and pulses, tofu if your hormonal balance is optimal, because it can have affect estrogen in quite a complicated way. So where am I now? Oh, the rest of it is the unrefined carbohydrates. As I mentioned, this is the dark green leafy vegetables and the colourful berries for pudding, along with some preferably 85% dark chocolate. We've also got the pre and probiotic foods in there. I forgot to mention them before. This can come as accompaniments or as a pudding if you are used to having puddings. Or it can be in the form of fermented foods. So you've got the sauerkrauts and the pickles and things like that. Now, not everybody can tolerate them, and they're not everybody's favorite, most palatable foods. But that they are still very important and present in the brain health plate, if you like. But generally, the emphasis is on beneficial fat, followed by lean proteins, followed by the unrefined carbohydrates and the pre and probiotics.
Sounds like a delicious plate of food. Now, we're going to be talking a lot more about this topic with Kate Taylor, nutrition, diet and lifestyle for cognitive function and decline and dementia risk avoidance, after a few messages from our commercial partners.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
Good.
Hey, football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries, plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2x the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger Fuel Centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18+ in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8/6/25 and 1/5/26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpointsTC.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
You're listening to Dora Walsh on UK Health Radio on the Nutrition for Me show, and we're speaking with Kate Taylor. She's a registered nutritionist, and her company is eatdrinkthinknutrition.co.uk. And we're talking about nutrition, diet, and lifestyle for cognitive function and decline and dementia risk avoidance, a very important topic since so many people are affected. Maybe your grandparents are affected. Maybe you feel like you have a bit of cognitive decline yourself and you think that it's inevitable that you're going to be going down a road towards dementia. We hope to give you a bit of hope today, talking about the kind of diet that can support your brain function, your cognitive abilities, and hopefully be a preventative against dementia. Very important. Now, let's talk a bit about lifestyle. Is there anything people should be doing to support their cognitive function? How can we help ourselves through lifestyle?
Yes. So again, it's quite personal, but there are some big hitters, if you like. I would say the first one is sleep. And there's an awful lot of, I was going to say noise around sleep, but that sounds slightly contradictory. There's an awful lot of information around sleep at the minute. And it must be one of those areas that everybody wishes they could just put their head on the pillow at night and sleep for 7-8 hours and fly awake in the morning and be ready to face the day. So sleep is absolutely crucial to brain health because it's the time when the brain has to detoxify and clear its accumulated waste products without being distracted by anything else. However, sleep in and of itself probably needs nutrition and lifestyle program support because a lot of people are finding it more and more difficult to get and achieve quality sleep. However, purely from a brain health perspective, it's when the glymphatic system, which is the brain's clearance and waste disposal system, that's when it is in full action. So as much as you can, try to prioritize sleep in your lifestyle. The second one you can talk about is meal timings. Again, this feeds into sleep a little bit because eating a large meal within too close to your horizontal stature for bedtime is never going to be brilliant for obtaining and attaining quality sleep. And so be quite mindful of how you distribute your meal times throughout the day. And again, we've all got really busy lives and sometimes you just can't fit in the appropriate meal quality or quantities when you would ideally like to. But this is also where a nutritionist can support you and just give you gentle guidance and nudges on how to optimize your diet and your lifestyle within the existing parameters and commitments of your lifestyle. There are other things like morning sunlight. And obviously, as we go into the winter months, I fully appreciate that we're not all able to arise at 6 a.m. and get some morning sunshine into our irises. But I think where I would say try not to do is try not to make the first thing that you make visual contact with a blue screen. So try to avoid your screens at least within the first, let's say, 20, 30 minutes of you arising, because this helps balance your circadian rhythm and it helps, believe it or not, morning light is the most impactful on how your sleep is then dictated at the very end of the day. It's quite an interesting area of research, actually, because it sounds opposite to what you would think it would be.
Definitely.
And I can't go past this question without mentioning movement. So personal trainers will know, or sports coaches will know best how your personal mechanics and your ability, physical health can manage with exercise. But oh my goodness, is movement and exercise important for brain health? And again, there is a scale I'm not by any means saying that you need to start training for an intensive sporting accomplishment, but just movement. Sitting at our desks for a lot of the day, as so many of us do now, is not ideal, either for our musculoskeletal health or our brain health. Walks or squats or dancing around the kitchen. And when you're waiting for something to prepare in terms of food, you're waiting for your tea to brew or whatever. Movement if you can. Interestingly, the research is slightly more towards resistance training. So it's lifting weight within your capability and physical capacity. And again, a personal trainer or a coach will be able to guide you and personalize your exercise regime to your capability and preferences. But yes, I cannot underestimate or underemphasize the importance of physical movement for your brain health and maintenance and cognitive function.
I can imagine, Kate, that when we're moving around, when we're getting the cardiovascular system going, that blood is being pumped up to the brain. And this is so important. We get the oxygen to the brain, we get the nutrients to the brain. But when people are static, stationary, they're sitting all the time, that blood is not circulating around the body and people don't feel well, do they? They feel sluggish. They feel mentally sluggish.
Exactly. And I had an interesting discussion with a client recently because we were talking about actually filling their food basket, but we were talking about shopping physically in person versus online shopping. And I always try and encourage shopping physically in person, firstly, because it's adding steps and movement to your day, but also because it helps your neuroplasticity. And this is the brain's ability to learn and adapt and form new and interesting connections. Because particularly around Christmas, we all know when we go around a supermarket, all the aisles have changed. So we have to relearn where the products that we naturally go to fill our shopping baskets are. And this in itself is a form of brain exercise. We're making new connections. We're learning new information. Whereas with online shopping, it's ultra convenient, but for our brain health in the long term, it may not actually be doing us any favors because it's just being plonked on our doorstep. Yeah, so I feel like that's killing two birds with one stone.
I hear you. So basically you're saying that when we do new things and we're in new environments, we're learning new things, we are stimulating the brain. We are encouraging this neuroplasticity, which is really good as a preventative for cognitive decline.
Yes, exactly. And you can take that to a whole new level. There's a lot of talk about learning a new musical instrument if you are so inclined, or learning new languages or writing. So much of our work now is done by typing. We're not handwriting as much as we did, or filling in crosswords physically by hand. So yeah, I think we need to slightly re-message neuroplasticity, because as life gets more and more done for us and convenient, in many ways it's great for work-life balance, but again, this as a preventative measure for cognitive decline, in the longer term, time will tell if it's potentially one of the risk-inducing factors, just that we're needing to use our actual brain and make these new connections less and less. And is that having an impact on our risk of potentially developing cognitive decline? Who knows?
You make such a good point, which goes on to another question I want to ask you, Kate. What about sociability? Because from what you're saying, we need to get out, we need to learn new things. What about the interaction with other people? How does that affect our cognitive function?
Very much. It's a funny one, because some people are slightly more naturally comfortable by themselves. However, we are pack species, and we do need that interaction. And again, it's just conversation, it's debate. I would say stick with people who make you feel comfortable and enlighten and enrich you. You don't want to be around people just for the sake of being around people. But if you, again, it's neuroplasticity. It's talking about new subjects. It's airing your thoughts, having healthy debate backwards and forwards. You don't need to agree, but you just need to be stimulated. And just being with other people in and of itself, it's very hormonal. It's very good for our brains. Loneliness is just so debilitating. And if you are worried about your brain function, this sort of brings in a few other things. Check your hearing. This is very important for your ability to socialize and interact with other people. And if your hearing is going, that diminishes your ability to socialize. And that's the opposite of what we want for retaining our cognitive function. So yes, Dora, And that's such a good point. We do need to interact with others. And actually, the in-person interaction is far better than the pseudo-interaction that we do over two-dimensional online groups and things like that. It's not a bad way to interact with others, as long as there's no sort of toxic information being pinged back and forwards. That does your brain health no good at all. But it's the 3D in-person interaction, which is particularly beneficial for our brain health. And things like volunteering or focus groups, if you're into sewing or if you're into singing, things like that. Just being part of a community, it gives you purpose and it gives you motivation to look after your brain and your body.
I'm so glad we're talking about this topic because there are so many things to think about other than just nutrition. It's nutrition, lifestyle, it's sociability, making connection. And all of these things added up together can really support us and help us to help us to develop that neuroplasticity, support our cognitive function so we can avoid decline and hopefully dementia in the future. Obviously, it's not a guarantee, but we need to take action just like we would take action on any aspect of our health. Now, we're going to be talking a lot more about this topic after a few messages from our commercial partners.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Hey, football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries, plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2x the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger Fuel Centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18+ in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8/6/25 and 1/5/26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpointstc.
The station that makes you feel good.
You're listening to Dora Walsh on the Nutrition For Me show on UK Health Radio, your global feel-good radio. And we're speaking with Kate Taylor. She's a registered nutritionist. And you can find out more about her on her website, www.eatdrinkthinknutrition.com. .co.uk. And we're talking about nutrition, diet, and lifestyle for cognitive function and decline and dementia risk avoidance. We've covered some amazingly important topics, the diet, the lifestyle, the sociability. And I've still got a few questions to ask you, Kate, because I'm absolutely fascinated by our discussion. You've mentioned a few times the RECODE diet or protocol, the RECODE 2.0. Can you tell us about subtypes of dementia that are mentioned in this RECODE protocol? Because apparently there are all different subtypes of dementia. How would we address that?
Yeah, certainly. So again, Dora, as you will know, as a nutritionist, you have to find the client's primary root causes or triggers for their symptoms. And then we support them accordingly. And everybody is individual. And RECODE is no exception. So there are 6 subtypes, although one of them is type 1.5 because it's overarching over all of them. So very briefly, type 1 is called HOT. And it's particularly in terms of Alzheimer's dementia. So type 1 is HOT inflammatory. And we've spoken a little bit already about the impact that inflammation can have systemically over all of the body systems, and the brain is no different. The type 1.5 is sweet or glycotoxic, and this is very much dietary, which for us lands right into our niche area, because it's a diet which has perhaps been a little bit too overwhelmed by ultra-processed foods or refined sugar ingredients. And refined sugar doesn't have a particularly beneficial impact on the brain. It's no good for its longevity. And as I mentioned before, with the emphasis on beneficial fats, the brain as it ages prioritizes something called ketones, which you get through the beneficial fats and the liver working together. And they become a very clean and efficient fuel for the brain, particularly as it ages, because they don't spike blood sugar. Yes, that's why type 1.5 is considered sweet, because it can be, if in excess, it can be detrimental to long-term brain health and cognitive function. Type 2 is cold or atrophic. And this is very much relating to your vitamin and mineral and nutrient status. So it goes back to a little bit what we were talking about. If there is a therapeutic need for supplements, or if the diet needs an overhaul to get the proportions of vitamins and minerals, macronutrients and micronutrients into the diet to best support cognitive function. Type 3 is vile or toxic. And oh my goodness, this one can be highly complicated because it's to do with toxins entering the body. This could be anything from oral hygiene or those old-fashioned mercury metal fillings, which might be degrading in your mouth. This gets eventually, if you've got problems with your oral microbiome, this can impact your brain health. There have been fairly recent studies where, with their consent, people who have passed away with Alzheimer's disease, their brains have been examined, and the scientists have found bacteria from the mouth inside the brain. And this has caused an accumulation of the beta amyloid plaque, which we associate with Alzheimer's disease. It's caused it to go into protective and overgrowth mode. So that basically came from poor dentition and oral bacteria managing to cross the blood-brain barrier and get in the brain. So that's one part of toxic, or it could come into the heavy metals or the toxic chemicals that you are exposed to in your job or in your immediate environment. It could come to pollution from water or air, or even the soil that some of the foods that you're eating are grown in, or the over-reliance we have on plastics now. I read somewhere fairly recently that there's potentially enough plastic in the brain to form a dessert spoon, which is slightly concerning, and that also has an impact on our gut health and things like that. But yeah, toxic is a very all-encompassing one, and it needs a very rigorous protocol to help the body detoxify and recover. So that's type 3. Type 4 is called pale or vascular, and that's to do with heart health and blood flow and cholesterol management. So just to make the message clear, there are two different types of cholesterol. There's beneficial and less beneficial, and the brain desperately needs the beneficial cholesterol. So again, this comes back to the beneficial fats. I'm not demonizing fats and I'm not demonizing cholesterol, but we need to be very careful and very targeted about the type of cholesterol that we are encouraging our body to produce, or indeed the less beneficial that we are encouraging our body to excrete, because this has an impact on our heart health, the health of our veins and arteries for blood flow, and as you mentioned earlier, getting that oxygenated blood to the brain. So that's where we would focus on with the pale or vascular type 4. And finally, type 5 is dazed or traumatic causes of cognitive decline. And this tends to come in the region of head injuries. That could be anything from concussions to strokes to, unfortunately, sustained impact experienced from, dare I say it, contact sports or an overindulgence in that, or accidents that you've had, a brain trauma, a brain injury. So that is the final subtype that we need as nutritionists to understand where the symptoms are primarily coming from, so that we can support the brain according to its vulnerabilities.
There's so many things to take stock of, so many different types. So it just shows you how personalized the protocol has to be.
Exactly. You're completely right. The old saying, if you've met one person with dementia, you've met one person with dementia. Even dementia itself has many different subcategories. So yeah, it's utterly fascinating as an area of therapeutic practice, but it's complicated and it needs to be. We know so little about the brain. We need to be very therapeutically mindful and careful of that. And diet nutrition is one part of an overall brain health program. It's a very important part, if I may say so myself, but has to be multifaceted, not only in its subcategorization, but then in its support program.
It's been so lovely talking to you. Now, for people that want to reach out to you to ask you about your services as a nutritionist for this condition or for also general health, I know you deal with many different conditions in your practice. How can they reach you?
I have a website with a contact form. They're very welcome to contact me on. It's www.eatdrinkthinknutrition.co.uk. I have an Instagram account, which is eat.drink.think.nutrition. I'm happy to receive direct messages on Instagram, or I try to post relatively educational content, so you're welcome to follow. And if it resonates with you, I hope you will enjoy it and you'll learn something from it. But please reach out if you're concerned about a loved one, a friend, relative, or yourself, and you just want to dig that little bit deeper. I offer free 30-minute discovery conversations. They're not charged. It's just to you, for you to learn a little bit more. And yeah, then you are welcome to start a personalized program if you so wish.
It sounds wonderful. And I know from January 2026, you're also doing something for practitioners, hosting an online cognitive function and brain health course. Can people find that information on your website? Practitioners, can they find that?
Not yet. It's still a work in progress. So I'm still compiling the course. But in early 2026, I hope to make it live and make it happen. It will be practitioner specific. So it's not yet for one-to-ones for the general public. I'm keeping them as consultations because, as we've talked about, they need to be highly personalized. But I've already got a few brands and dietary relevance who are aligned with the protocol and the keto flex dietary paradigm. And they're happy to join me. So there might be a few sort of free and discounted treats associated with the course. But yes, that will be more on that in the new year. 2026.
I look out with great interest. Thank you for coming on the show, Kate. It's been wonderful having you. And listeners, I hope you've enjoyed listening to the show as much as I've enjoyed presenting it. Join us again next week on the Nutrition For Me show on UK Health Radio. Today's show is brought to you in association with Revive Active, our show's sponsor, Ireland's number one super supplement brand, offering solutions across all life stages. Revive Active are committed to pure, premium and positive solutions for everyone's well-being needs, working with your body's needs from morning to night, from energy to restful sleep, kids' health to active aging. We've teamed up to provide UK Health Radio listeners with 15% off their range, so you can try it for yourself. Just go to reviveactive.com and use radio15 to see what feeling super is all about. Until next week, thank you and goodbye.
Hey, football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries, plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2x the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger Fuel Centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18+ in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8/6/25 and 1/5/26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpointstc.